oh, this is going to be a good one. I mean, this is really going to be a good one today. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about the preaching. It's going to be mediocre at best. But I mean, what we're talking about today is the resurrection. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important in the Christian faith than the resurrection. Right? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what our faith kind of comes down to. That's kind of the pivotal point in the Christian faith, the resurrection. So why don't we just pray together again before we start? Lord, we just ask that you would help us to see the resurrection. Help us to grasp the resurrection. Help us to understand it. Help us to know it. Help us to believe it. Help us to really grab hold of Jesus, or better yet, to be grabbed hold of by Jesus in the midst of this. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, and I pray that you'd help us to see him very clearly today. I pray that you would guide the words, guide our thoughts as we move through this. In your precious name, amen. I hope you have your Bibles open to Luke 24. If you do, keep your finger in there and turn back a couple of pages. We want to take a look back at Luke chapter 18. If you don't have a Bible, and I know this is a little late for this, but there's some Bibles on the back table. They're our gift to you. You can just grab one on the way out. If somebody else accidentally sets their Bible down on the table, it's fair game. So just if you see a nice one, go for it. But Luke chapter 18, this is before Jesus died. Jesus is alive, and he is walking and traveling with his followers, the disciples, and many others. And it says, and taking the 12, he said to them this. Now pay close attention to what Jesus says. Luke chapter 18, it says this. See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. This is Luke 18:31. And I got to ask the question, and it's this. Who's the Son of Man? You know, most of the time, you know, when I ask questions, is they're really easy. The answer, you can just get ready, whatever he's asking Jesus. Sometime I'll ask a question where the other is something else, right? But Jesus is the Son of Man, and that goes back to a couple things. It goes back to a passage in the Old Testament where it talks about in Daniel 7 and so on, but we're not going to get into that so much. When Jesus says the Son of Man, he's talking about himself. He starts speaking kind of third person about himself. And he says this, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. Everything that was declared beforehand, hundreds of years about Jesus, thousands of years before Jesus, is coming about. You know that Jesus wasn't really a surprise, right? God had been saying, Jesus is coming. This is what's going to happen. This is what it's going to be like. Giving detail after detail after detail about Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, it's all going to happen, by the way. And he says this, for he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, because Jesus was a Jew, and he'd be handed to people that weren't of the tribe of Israel. And he says, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. So he tells them this, and this isn't the only time he tells them this, but he tells them, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles. They're going to beat me up. They're going to kill me, and on the third day I'll rise. He told them this a number of times. In fact, the Bible throughout the prophets explains this a number of times, and then this is what happens. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. And so a short time after this, Jesus is handed over to the Romans. And they take him and they nail him to a cross. They mock him, they spit on him, and they nail him to a cross, and he dies. You know, we spoke about just a couple of days ago on Good Friday, we talked about this issue of Jesus and how he was crucified. And you remember he was crucified between two criminals, right? And it may seem strange, why would Jesus, the person that God had sent, God Almighty, Jesus, hanging on the cross, why would he hang between two criminals? And what's amazing is that realization that we are the two criminals, right? And we're both there, and the Bible tells us that all of us, every last one of us, are sinners. We've all wandered from God. We've all done wrong things, and we hang on the, and we're there receiving our judgment. And there's two options That's what the criminals are about. They're real and everything, but they declare for us two options. And the one turns to Jesus and says, I don't need you, right? He says, if you're really who you say you are, save yourself and us. And the other says, no, don't you understand? We're receiving what we're supposed to receive. He didn't do anything wrong. Remember me, Jesus. And that's what we're called to. We're called to cry out to Jesus and say, you're perfect. I get that. I'm not. I need you. That's the message of the gospel. And you come to that point of the crucifixion, and Jesus dies. And just like he said, he's going to be handed over to the Gentiles. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be spit upon. He's going to be killed. And then they buried him. And you'd think that the next part of it would make sense to them. He's going to rise. But then we turn over to our passage, and this is what we read. Luke chapter 24 says, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. If you're familiar with this passage, if you've read it a lot, then it probably you just read that and move on, and it makes perfect sense. But you might be thinking to yourself, why would they take spices? Right? You know what we use spices for? Cooking. You're thinking, is this some weird tradition where they have a barbecue at the, like, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Right? But it's not that. It was their way of preparing a body. And they would prepare a body in the tomb and using the spices. And it had a very practical purpose, all those spices. But they showed up at the tomb with the spices, which tells you something. They were expecting a body. Right? They were expecting someone dead. It says here, on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. In other words, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. None of them really got it, that Jesus was going to rise again. And it says this, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, they really didn't get it. You see, they show up to prepare the body, but they had no understanding that there was no body to be prepared. They really didn't understand. In verses 4 and 5, it says this, and they were perplexed. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, two angels, two messengers from God. And as they were frightened and bowed their face to the ground, and the men said to them this. Now, before we go on to this, just don't gloss over this. This question here is at the core of Easter. This question is huge. It says this, why do you seek the living among the dead? See, when you go to a cemetery, you're not seeking the living, are you? You're seeking the dead. You're seeking those that we've lost, those we're grieving their loss, we're longing for, those that we wish were still here. You see, why do you seek the living among the dead? It's kind of ridiculous to go and seek the living in a cemetery. That's where you go to visit the dead. And then they say this. As they were frightened, they said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee. Jesus is not dead, he is alive. Let me say that again. Jesus is not dead, he is alive. We tried that liturgy before. He is risen. That's the core of the Christian faith. That's what it comes back to. This is the most important truth in the Christian faith. Often when people struggle with the Christian faith, wondering if it's true, struggling with questions, struggling with concerns, having trouble believing it, they focus in on all sorts of stuff. They'll focus in on a matter of origins. Did God create the world, or did it just happen to come about by random chance? Is there a God or not? And they focus on a matter of morals. Does God require this or that, or should we be able to just do whatever our hearts tell us? They focus in on a matter of value. Does my value come from what I can or can't do? Or does it come from the God who made me with indescribable value, made me with indescribably precious? Or is it they'll focus in on a matter of accuracy. Is this statement in the Bible accurate or not? And they'll try to find little things, a matter of consistency. Can I find a contradiction? Sometimes we try so hard in so many different areas, but those issues really are secondary. And people play with them and struggle with them, all the while missing the issue. Is Jesus alive today? That's the issue. Did he rise from the dead? People will attack all sorts of stuff about the Christian faith, but it all comes down to this one single point. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Keep your finger in Luke 24 and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 19. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" He says, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Jesus Christ has not been raised," listen to this and listen closely. Don't miss this. He says, "If Jesus Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." You get that? If Jesus is not alive, your faith is in vain. Your faith is worthless, right? If you're sitting there thinking, okay, I have faith in Jesus Christ, but if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that faith is just, it's just a waste of your time. You see how important it is? He says, "We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised," and he says it again, and he's driving home the point. He just kind of says it over and over again. "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins." You're wasting your time. If Jesus is not alive, you're wasting your time. He says, "Then those who have fallen asleep," those who have died before us that have believed in Jesus Christ and have clung to him and held on to him in faith, "those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." There's no hope for them. "If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." Right? Do you see? I mean, this isn't one of those things that I'm just kind of like, let's create an important thing for us to talk about. This is the key issue in the Christian faith. Is Jesus alive? If you ever want to struggle with the question, is the Christian faith true? Struggle through this issue. If Jesus has risen from the dead, if after being killed on the cross, if after being buried and left in the tomb for days, if after all this he conquered death by rising from the dead, then the Christian faith is real. Then Jesus is God. It's a proof that he is God, that he has power over death. You see, it wasn't as if he just stopped breathing for a second. We're talking days, that Jesus has the power over life and death. The Christian faith is real because we rest our faith entirely in Jesus Christ, a living Lord. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we have no hope of eternity. But Jesus is the first, as the Bible tells us, to permanently rise from the dead and to conquer death so that we can rise and have an eternity with Jesus Christ. That is the Christian hope. And let me, for the sake of not to bore you, but let me repeat it. If Jesus did not rise, neither will we. And our faith is just for this life alone. But if Jesus rose from the dead, if death has no claim on him, then we can rise from the dead because of his power over death and live forever with him. This is the issue. You know, 1 Corinthians, it continues on in verse 20. It says, "But in fact, Christ, Jesus Christ, has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Jesus Christ all shall be made alive." Back to our passage in Luke 24, they say, "Why do you search for the living among the dead?" In fact, the passage goes on. It says, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." Why don't you remember? Right? Why don't you remember that this is exactly what Jesus said would happen? He had to die. That was the plan, that he had to conquer sin. Then he was to rise from the dead. That was the plan. And the angels look at them and say, "Don't you remember? Don't you understand? This is the issue." You know, sometimes we can go looking for Jesus in the wrong place. We can see him as simply a good person, a good example. We can go looking for him in all the right places, thinking he's this or that, but Jesus is alive. He's more than just a memory of a good person or a good example. Jesus is alive and active and conquered death, and he offers the life he has taken hold of to all of us. He is God himself come to save us from sin and death. You know, in Luke 24, verse 8, we read, "And they remembered his words." They finally remembered that this had been the plan. You know, if you'll turn back with me a page or two to Luke chapter 22, verse 41, it says this. And this is before he died on the cross. He's praying to God the Father. God the Son is praying to God the Father. And it says this, Luke 22, verse 41, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will be, but yours be done.'" Jesus is saying, you know, I don't particularly want to go through this whole experience that I have to go through it. I know the plan. I get it. Father, if there's another way, let me take that other way. He says, "But not my will, yours be done." It was God's plan all along. And Jesus submits to the Father's plan. And though the people that followed Jesus didn't likely understand it all yet, when they remembered his words, they did remember. This was the plan all along. You know, back to our passage and going on after there, Jesus rises from the dead, and then he starts showing himself to them. He shows up here, he shows up there. In the Bible, in that passage we read in 1 Corinthians, it talks about how he showed himself to over 500 people at one time. Jesus starts showing himself, and this is one of the time when he shows himself to the people. And he read this in verse 44, Luke 24, 44. "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in this city until you're clothed with power from on high.'" Jesus died for a reason. It was for our sin. And Jesus rose for a reason, to conquer death, to give us life. And then he says this, "Go out and tell people, turn away from sin and find forgiveness in Jesus Christ." He says, "And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations." Back to the two thieves on the cross, right? You've got the one thief. He's like, "I don't need you, Jesus." And the other thief says, "Remember me." And you remember Jesus' words? "Today you'll be with me in paradise. Today, you're mine," right? This gift of forgiveness of sins. Just let me wipe it all clear. He's just saying there, "Come on, I'm just waiting there to wipe it all clear. Wipe all the sin away. Just turn to me. Cry out to me. It costs you nothing. I'll pay the price. I'll hang on the cross for it." The message of the gospel is beautiful. This is the core of the Christian faith. And we stand on the conviction that life and forgiveness and cleansing from sin is found in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone. Our hope is nowhere else. The core of the Christian faith. Let me ask you a question just for your own mind. What do you think of all that? Right, I mean, is it just information in your mind? Or is it life transformation? Is it that matter of turning to Jesus Christ and saying, "Yeah, I rely on Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Nothing else." The gospel is free. It's absolutely free. And we come to this matter of the good news of Jesus Christ, and it calls for a response from us. And if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never come to that point, this is the moment. I just invite you to give your heart over to Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. The Bible says this. If we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord, we say, "Yeah, Lord, I'm turning to you. I'm following you." And believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved, not because of us, but because of him. And I invite you to turn your life over to him today, or go speak to someone here who loves Jesus Christ. We'd love to share him with you. And if you're here and you really are taken with this concept, this idea that if you really are convicted of, have grabbed hold of this belief, this conviction that Jesus is alive, let it forever transform everything. Your life, your decisions, your direction, your focus, that it all becomes about Jesus. This life and the eternity afterwards is all about him. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, as we've been leading up to today and as we've been preparing through this and going through this, I'm just bubbling over with this incredible excitement over the good news of Jesus Christ, of the gospel, of that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And Lord, I just praise you for that. And I ask today that you would renew our appreciation, our excitement, our enthusiasm, our wonder that Jesus Christ is alive. And because of that, everything is different. Because of that, we can live too, in eternity with Jesus Christ, not because of us, but because of Christ. Lord, I pray these things in your name. Amen.